This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. We are at the top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Steve Freeman's in the house as well. And we also have Chef Bobby Marcotte of Tuckaway Tavern, who Guy Fieri has visited, Triple D, otherwise known as, well, I should say Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, otherwise known as Triple D.
Right.
So we're going to find out all about that. And also Triple G, Guy's Grocery Games. And, I mean, this guy is, like, all over the place. Bobby, we're friends on Facebook, so I've been, like, seeing him all over Facebook, all over everywhere, and I'm so glad to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so give us
you had to break
scoop.
Up all that health food talk with some Tuckaway talk. I appreciate
it. Yes, we do. And, you know, I love when you're experimenting in the kitchen and you do all these different crazy things. Like, weren't you doing chicken fries one night or something?
Yes, we did some house-made chicken fries the
other
night.
Isn't that fun to do?
It is.
Oh, my gosh. It's so fun. I miss those days.
It's very fun.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, first, of course, Triple D. Like, you know, I've had Triple D, you know, visit the diner, mm-hmm. and it's just such a great experience.
Amazing. I couldn't believe it was happening, to be honest. So, you know the process. It's quite lengthy, so you really don't know whether you're going to get in or you're not. And then we got the call 2 weeks before that we were. So it was exciting, nerve-wracking, and obviously just an awesome experience.
And I might have had a little something to do with it.
We appreciate that.
Just a little.
Just a little.
Any little bit helped, obviously. So.
It helps to know people.
Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, you don't know what to expect with a Guy Fieri coming in your house, and he was just amazing. Awesome, awesome
guy. Nice. He's very down to earth.
Absolutely.
You know, normal, genuine, you know, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. So. Couldn't say a bad thing about him.
Now, what were the items that you showcased on Triple D?
So we did the funny story on one of them. So we did cornholes, which is our homemade hot dog that we make into these little meatballs, and then we dip them in corn dog batter. Mm. And when I was interviewing for the show, I had mentioned in passing that we've just done different flavors, messing around with our hot dogs. So somewhere in the works, it kind of got switched around that we do. So I was telling them that we do like black and blue hot dogs, chili cheese hot dogs, different hot dogs for our butcher shop. And that somehow got construed as we do chili cheese cornholes on our menu, and Guy really wanted to try them. So as soon as I heard, so when I was told that that's what he wanted to eat, I came up with a chili cheese cornhole.
So you had to perfect it.
Perfected it.
Adapt and overcome.
And he clearly loved it. So it's made our way onto the menu now. We had to get rid of the originals and bring those in now. So we're doing those. And then we did the whole Tuckin Farm as well. And then, of course, he wanted to try some stuff out of the butcher shop. I guess his wife is from Rhode Island, so yeah. He's familiar
his
with steak tips. He
there.
Had to have steak tips.
Was
and,
his dad at the filming? Because his dad usually comes. He
no.
came to mine.
No,
oh,
not
okay.
at mine.
All right.
You must be special.
Well,
yeah.
No. We were one of the original ones. You know,
awesome.
It was like the first year, so his dad's probably sick of it by
probably.
Like 9, 10 years. So.
Wow.
But yeah, so he tried the steak tips. We got the thumbs up on the steak tips as well. But I don't know. I don't think that made the show.
Oh, I don't remember if it did or not. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was there with you guys for 17 minutes of airtime, right?
Yeah, probably about that.
And how long did it take to get that done?
2 days.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we had to shut down for 2 days with the pre-filming.
See,
and all
we
that.
We didn't have to shut down. That's something
really.
New. We didn't shut down at all.
Yeah, I think it's changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I think
it's evolved
so.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
From what
so when you shut down, do they bring fake customers in?
Not fake customers. No, they just tell you can let X amount be here. And then we reached out to customers that we knew.
Gotcha.
You know, that have been with us for quite a while. So,
2 days of total shutdown, no business per se.
Correct.
That's a hit to the business, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, but the
yeah, but
you know,
what,
obviously,
what
you got to look at the long
return.
Term.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Right, okay.
And I mean, just the opportunity, honestly. Even if it didn't bring another spot of business, you got to take that opportunity to hang out with Guy and be on Food Network. Of course.
And is it all secret while you're doing it, so you couldn't?
Yeah,
tell
we
people?
Couldn't say a thing for months and months. Even after we filmed, we had to keep a tight lip.
So when you closed, what'd you tell everybody you were closed for? Renovations?
Maintenance. Yeah.
That's great.
But when the cover came off the red, you know, the red convertible
for it the was car a, when they rolled
you
it out,
you can only hold it in so long. But you know, it's a small town, so
right. Very small town. These TV shows are more secretive than our federal government.
Isn't that the same thing at this point?
That's a different radio show.
Yeah. Stop. So you had Guy Fieri come to Tuckaway Tavern. And yep. For listeners that are just tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought with Carolyn Tracy. And we have Chef Bobby Marcotte from the Tuckaway Tavern and Butchery. And what happened? How did Guy's Grocery Games come into it? Because next thing you know, I see you, oh my gosh, it's like going to be the finale. And I'm like, what happened?
It was so right after we actually got done wrapping up in the kitchen with Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, I heard Guy say to the head producer, Triple G, and I didn't even put it together. And the producer was like, absolutely. And so as I was getting ready to clean up and stuff, Guy came over. He said, I got this other show. I think you'd, you know, be really good at it. You know, it involves creativity and, you know, thinking on the fly, and obviously I had known about Grocery Games either way. So, and I was like, absolutely. So he said, yeah, we'll get in touch. And maybe 3 months later, I got a call from another Triple G producer who found us organically through the web. We didn't even know we had aired on Triple D yet.
Wow.
Because when I said, oh, you know, did Guy talk to you about it? She's like, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, he had mentioned it when we were filming for Triple D. She goes, you guys were on Triple D? And I was like, she goes, I actually
Maybe
found
they
you.
Should talk.
She goes, I found you from the web with all, you know, you've won a few awards and we kind of looked for that. And I was like, awesome. So she actually signed me up for the burger episode, and then Guy caught wind and said, no, I want him on the Triple D episode. So.
Well, that's really says a lot about you, because if, you know, Guy is saying, hey, this would be a really great fit, and then somebody else completely organically found you based on your accolades, that says a lot about you.
It was very cool. Yeah. I thought it was
Congrats.
Quite a compliment,
I think,
to be honest.
A huge compliment.
Sure. You know,
we have you right here in New Hampshire.
In our studio, Jason.
I know, right? But I mean, get to enjoy the restaurant right here in New Hampshire.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, whenever I tell people about Tuckaway, you know, people say, have you been to Tuckaway, or how's Tuckaway? You know, I never cease to tell them, you know, how you run that whole place. I mean, that place is huge. Mm-hmm. How many does it seat?
210. So we have 210.
Plus the just, I plus mean, okay, so you have, you see 210 in the dining room, which there's lines a lot. So you're at capacity quite a bit.
Yeah.
Not like a normal restaurant these days, really.
We're very
very
happy, very thankful.
And then you have the butchery, which is amazing. It's huge. And then the store. I mean, I love going in there, and Daryl will sit in the car and be like, "I'll meet you in there," because I go through all the, you know, it's just amazing what you do. And I tell people all the time about you and how.
Thank you,
you
very
know,
much.
I mean,
we have an amazing crew, and that's how it all, you know.
Right.
It's great that, you know. It's great that
you can do what you do.
We're able to do it all together.
Right.
With, I mean, we have 130 employees. So
you are the conductor, though. Remember that. You know, you're the one up there, making sure everything's going smooth, and you do a fantastic job. I mean,
thank
and
you
now,
much.
So let's continue talking a little, because we have plenty of time here. So let's talk about Triple G before we go into the new place that's coming, which I can't wait to hear about that. So you went on to Triple G, and let people know what happened for people maybe that didn't see the episode or didn't know about this.
So it was a tournament. It was the Triple D on Triple G tournament. So it was all Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives chefs, 16 chefs that Guy actually picked himself. And it's a 4-episode tournament. So there's one winner of every episode, and then those four went on to the championship round. And,
oh, wow. So like a series, a little mini series.
It was, yeah, it was a 5-week. They said it's the most watched grocery games that they do. So it was cool to be a part of it. And met 15 other great chefs, very, very talented, didn't know what to expect. And yeah, so won my episode, went on to the finals, and won the finals as well. $40,000.
40?
Congratulations. Oh my God. So out of 16 chefs.
Out of 16.
All right,
chefs,
we need a high five right here.
Across the country.
Yes, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Wow. Thanks, and you're young, if you don't mind. How old are you?
I'm 35.
What? He's older than I'm older than
I look. Is he? Okay. You definitely don't look 35.
But, you were
but that is still young, isn't
it?
Don't you think that's still young for a successful chef, though?
Yeah.
But you do look younger than 35.
He does. When I first met him, I was telling people he's like 21.
Yeah.
I'm like, and he runs his whole stinking place. That's what I was telling people.
Thank you. You can keep telling him that. That's fine.
Just let him
That's what
that.
I meant. 25.
So is 40 grand for you or the restaurant, the business?
So actually, so I'm a huge childhood cancer advocate, and you know, I lost my daughter to cancer at 13 in 2014. So,
Alana,
I contributed half of that to St. Jude's, half my winnings to St. Jude's, and then half will go to our new business.
Excellent.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we do a lot for St. Jude's. We're huge St. Jude's advocates, and we do a walk every year and raise tons of money. And this was just, it was a no-brainer for me to have to go ahead and do that.
And then shortly after it had aired, the finale had aired, you went to Florida.
Yeah, so I had actually already had that trip planned.
Oh, okay.
It was just coincidence. And yeah, so.
So it wasn't like I won, now I'm going to Disneyland?
Well, that's what I had posted on my Facebook, yeah, because we actually landed in Orlando, and we were going to go visit my fiance's grandparents, but one of them got ill, so we had some extra time to kill. So we landed in Orlando, and I said, yeah, it was the Monday after I had the episode had aired. So I said, yeah, I won the championship, so now I'm going to Disney. And we just spent 2 days in Disney with our daughter, so it was fun.
So did you know you won the championship before it aired?
Yeah, we actually filmed it in November, October.
And you couldn't tell anybody.
And I couldn't tell anybody.
And you knew then you won.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did your fiance know?
It's tough. It's terrible.
Did your fiance know? At least the people in your house? Did they know?
I couldn't tell anybody.
Oh, that's hard.
You didn't even tell her?
I was bound by contract.
Oh, my God.
You see what he said? He I couldn't tell anybody.
No, I mean, you have to, like, when you live with somebody, even if you don't say a word, expression says so much. Like, how do you hide something like that from somebody?
Well, the worst part,
with?
Too, is, like, you know, you obviously, you're out there representing your restaurant and your crew, and you know you got 130 people that are like rooting you on, and you come back and have
you're
to
like,
tell
sorry,
them you lost.
Can't tell
yeah,
you.
You know. Well, I didn't technically, you know, I told them I lost because at one point I did lose in that belt round at the very end, which is debatable, but.
But yeah. Obviously, it didn't keep you from winning the whole thing.
Exactly, that was just kind of a throw in at the
so
end.
Just,
guy
it,
wanted to throw a little wrench
you.
In the works. At the
so
very
your
end.
Whole crew's thinking, loser, you lost.
Basically, yeah.
For
I walked
whatever,
around like
for,
a loser
for 3 months, even though you're running this great establishment that is the champion, if you will, and then like surprise everybody.
Yeah, yeah. They were mixed emotions when they found out I had won for sure.
Oh, that's.
But
awesome.
It was all.
And do the TV people advise you on how to cope with this?
No, they just tell you don't say a word or you don't get nothing. So good luck.
All right. Then, you know, money but does motivate. Keep, civil
ups. Now, keep that in the back of my mind.
So you said there were 4 episodes of that one.
Yeah.
And where did you, how did it work as far as running the restaurant and having to go away 4 different times for how long and where did you go?
So they actually film it all at once. Mm-hmm. So
oh,
I was
okay.
out there every day. They film X amount of games. So I was out there for 5 days.
Okay.
And the whole thing. Was
and where was
up.
It?
California.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so the whole thing happens in 1 week and it's spread out over 4 months or whatever of TV.
Yeah, because they can film an entire episode in about a day. So.
Gotcha. TV so elusive.
That's good. You don't have to keep going back and forth. And
oh,
there was
yeah.
an
I
extreme makeover some years ago in Manchester, and I got to be on the inside of it. And you know, you couldn't say anything, and you saw how it happened, and then you see it on. You know, basically, I think a half-hour show is like 18 minutes of content.
Right.
12 minutes of advertising.
Yeah.
And I was like, 18 minutes took, you know, 9 days to film.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is pretty wild. So. Well, that's like us, even with Diners Drive-In. It's like it took 2 days to film. We were on for 17 minutes, you know?
Right.
But they do a great 17 minutes worth of film.
It's so. It's so fun. I mean, whenever, you know, we watch Triple D, it's you just want to get in your car and go to these places.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I got to go there. You must have people come in and sign the books. Do you have people do that?
We haven't done that yet. We actually just hung a map, so we're going to start tracking it with those, with some push pins and stuff.
Nice.
Just because we have been hearing a lot. I mean, we had a customer, a party of four, not yesterday, the day before, that drove 4.5 hours from upstate New York and planned
to
a
go.
Trip to the
yep,
restaurant.
It's crazy.
We've had people from Virginia, Pennsylvania.
That's so cool.
I mean, Vermont and Maine aren't even rare anymore. We're seeing those all the wow. time now, you know. So
when you won, were you all cooking the same thing, or this is what you cook, they cook their thing?
So it's a supermarket challenge. So you're in an actual supermarket, which is also, you know, doubles as a production studio just because. But it's a real-life stocked supermarket, and they give you 30 minutes to both shop and cook.
That the public shops at, or just for TV?
It's just for TV.
Okay.
But, yeah, they keep it fully stocked. They have a full grocery store crew, just like any grocery store would, just to keep things fresh and rotating. And all the anything that goes, nothing goes to waste. It all goes to charity. So
great.
Anything going out of code or something is immediately donated to.
So you shop. I don't have a TV, so I'm a little out of it.
Oh, okay.
So you shop for all these goods. I have seen that.
He's
show.
He's in the caveman era.
You fill up the grocery cart
yep.
and put together whatever you desire.
Yeah, 30 okay. minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, first challenge was you can only use ingredients starting with the letters US and A, and you have to make us a lunchtime counter dish or something, a lunch counter
okay
dish. So yeah, I did a steak and cheese sub, you know, a strip steak or skirt steak, shiitake mushroom shallots, avocado aioli on sourdough sub roll.
So no you.
Yeah, where's just, the U? I was looking for the U too.
No, I didn't have to.
It just had to only be.
Yeah, you don't have to use all three, but you have. Yeah, you're restricted
gotcha.
To those.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great.
That sounded good.
Fun. Okay, you are listening to Food for Thought, Carol and Tracy. We have Chef Bobby Marcotte from Tuckaway Tavern and Butchery in house. We are going to go on a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Bobby's new venture. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Chef Bobby Marcotte, Tuckaway Tavern and Butchery, is in the house. We're hearing all about his Triple D episode and his Triple G episode. And
now, some people don't know what that is. So
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yep.
And Guy's Grocery Games.
Right.
And he won the finale, $40,000, donated $20,000 to St. Jude's, which is awesome. And now we're going to talk about his new venture. But I think, Steve, do you have a couple things you're going to...
Yes,
I'll
say goodbye now. I've got to go, but I just asked a couple questions off air to be better prepared. But so, how did you get into the business originally?
Yeah, so my stepdad was a chef, Navy chef, worked in restaurants all his life. So he was working at a little Irish joint in Derry when I was 13, and called me in on a Friday night. You know, just like most chefs. Career start.
That's right.
And, you know, they were shorthanded, called me in to wash some dishes. And
calling the family.
Yeah. Loved it right off the bat. Loved as much as I loved washing dishes.
Who
I was always.
Love washing dishes.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
Yeah.
I mean,
at home.
No.
When you tell me I'm going to get money at 13 years old, I'll do anything. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so spent 2 weeks washing dishes, and luckily another job opened up on, you know, salads and prep. So I got my foot in the door there because the chef constantly saw me just watching what they were doing with all my free time. And so he called me up 2 weeks later, and the rest is history. I mean, just kept plugging away, working my way up.
So you've worked your way up through the ranks.
Absolutely.
And no formal education.
No college.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
I'm
great.
All self-trained. You know, I read as much as I possibly can on everything. And
how many years has Tuckaway been there? How many years has it been?
5.5.
Wow.
Five and a half explosive years.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're going on. So, excuse me, I spoke too soon. 5 years will be next month. But I've been there, you know, a half a year prior to just getting it ready. So it'll
close
be five
enough.
And a half next month, yeah.
So the other question I had asked is a segue into your new venture, which you can talk a little bit about.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing infused burgers. And yep. I asked the scientific question because infusion to me means like needles into the product sort of thing and basting and stuff. Either way, it creates a great product, but you actually are hand mixing all your flavors into the meat and then complementing it with the toppings, which I think is a sounds delicious. You should have brought samples. You'll have to come back.
So tell us a little bit first about what is this next venture?
Yeah, so our new place is called Hop and Grind, and it's a much smaller scale of what we're doing at the Tuckaway, but equally awesome, I'd like to say. So it's just basically craft beers, local craft beers, which we're highly focused on at Tuckaway as well, but this will be more hyper local. So you know, we'll only have taps dedicated to like within 15 miles of us, and then a big bottle can list. And then, so on the burger side, we're definitely not just going to open a burger spot where we're just topping patties with a bunch of different stuff. We're actually going to grind the burger with other ingredients into it so that it's got some flavor going on in the patty and then toppings to match those specific patties. So
even better, as you're grinding the beef fresh, you're infusing
not just beef either. Yeah, we're going to do chicken burgers, pork burgers, beef burgers.
Yum.
We'll have a small section for each of those. So,
love and it. Where
totally,
is this going
to
be?
We like to say we're going to change the burger game.
And where is it going to be located?
So first location is in Durham at UNH, right on campus.
Notice he said first location.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
I bet he has the second one already up his sleeve.
Well, hopefully it's downtown Manchester.
Yeah, right.
You really
come this way a little.
Here. You do.
Yeah, I just you don't think it's saturated up here, huh?
I mean, not with burger joints, no.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Who knows? I mean, we've always got our eyes open for both Tuckaways and Hop and Grind, so. You know.
So Hop and Grind. I like it.
French fries?
Yep.
What's the secret there? Do you do them?
So we're going to fry them in beef fat, old school style.
So tallow?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I've seen that on one of Guy's shows.
Have you?
And he said there's a restaurant. I have it in my phone on places to eat at down in, it's like a 4-hour drive, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and their secret ingredient is whatever they use in French fry oil, vegetable shortening, they pour a portion of beef tallow into it.
Oh, we're going 100%
tallow. Yeah, that's going to be almost as good as duck fat.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the next step down from duck fat for sure.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, you know, the original McDonald's used to, that's how they became famous for their French fries, because they were frying in beef fat. And then the USDA came in and said, oh, that's super unhealthy for you. And then they, you know, everyone went to these hydrogenated oils and these trans fats and all that.
Which are ridiculously unhealthy.
Which are way worse for you than that. So McDonald's specifically is still using that, but they're actually adding flavoring, beef tallow flavoring into those oils to try to get that flavor and try to keep their quality. So we're actually...
We're
going
to
kick
that.
It old school.
I have beef tallow on my counter, duck fat, pork
fat.
Me
too.
And
nice.
It's a new thing for me, and it's an old thing that has been like sort of lost and forgotten that's sort of having a resurgence. And with fat is now not why we're fat. It's other things. So fat
it's the wrong kinds of fat.
It's
that
the
are
wrong kind of
fat.
And so good fat is part of a good, healthy diet. So I can't wait to wallow in some tallow.
But nice.
And with that, I must say goodbye, but congratulations, good luck, pleasure to meet you. Thank you, ladies. Have a
all right,
bye.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, here they come.
Getting bad.
Thank you all.
Steve, keep me posted on the baby, please.
I will.
Please, text me. Please.
I will.
Take care.
All right.
Pleasure.
Well, I think we need to say bye, Bobby.
I know.
I feel bad. This is like... This was great. I just love hearing.
No, this is great. No.
Yeah.
No need to feel bad. Thanks for having me.
So, wait, when are you supposed to open the doors, did you say?
So, we got our building permit tomorrow.
So you're close.
Yeah. So, well, we got a little build out to do, but, you know, hopefully within the next few months, you'll see a Hop and Grind.
Awesome. So, we're going to have you come back on to announce.
You let me know. I'll bring samples next time now that
I know. Yeah, there's no samples here. I'm a little disappointed.
I like to keep you guys thinking. You know?
There you go.
But so you know when the beer guys come on, they bring beer samples.
Yeah,
so if it's Hop and Grind, there's got to be. If it's Hop and Grind, you know there's got to be two different kinds of samples.
You must know MHP.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's where that.
Of course.
Yep.
He's always bringing beer samples in.
He's doing great stuff over there.
He is. He's doing awesome. So.
Yeah.
Well, Chef Bobby Marcotte, the Tuckaway Tavern and Butchery, and I highly recommend, you know, listeners out there, if you haven't been there, you really you need to go check it out. What is probably, I mean, what is maybe a better day time?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because I constantly
Mondays,
get asked
I'm
what's
thinking?
A slow. No, Mondays and Tuesdays are very busy, as busy as Friday,
oh,
Saturdays. We do our buy one, get one free lobster
right.
rolls. But the wait is well worth it. But if you're looking to get in and get out, you know, I always tell everybody Wednesday, Thursdays are slower days. You're still probably going to wait a little bit. But and then if you're looking for, you know, I mean, bars, I always recommend the bar as well. 10, 15
we
minutes.
The
they're
bar.
Always
yeah.
those seats are always rotating.
Yeah. And even on a Friday or Saturday night, we.
Yep, you'll always find a seat at the bar. I try to tell everybody that if you know if you don't mind that it's full menu, so you're not missing out on much.
So you still have you have big specials on. Is it Monday and Tuesday?
Or? Yeah, the buy one get one free lobster.
And it's both Monday and Tuesday, right? So those days are always busy too.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Line like literally out the door, like crazy. Crazy.
It's funny because people, I don't know if this originated from that, but a lot of restaurants do specials like that because they're the slow days.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly it worked.
Correct.
And you're just going to keep it going.
Yep. Yep.
That's awesome.
Even I mean, when we first opened, we didn't expect the lobster market to take the turn it did. But, you know, thank God China left a little bit of lobsters in the States for us to use, you know. It was scary last year. I mean, you know the lobster shortage that happened. So we were nervous that we were going to have to discontinue it last summer. But
have you heard about the bacon shortage? I mean, is that true?
That's the new thing.
Or is it not
true? It's coming back down now, and this happened about 5 years ago with the pork industry,
right.
where they were buying everything and actually reselling it back to us, all processed.
Yeah.
So, I think it's. I don't think you're going to see a huge difference.
Okay.
I think it's kind of under control at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was taking a turn for the worse.
Right, it was. But then there, you know, news out there is saying, you know, when you look it up, it's like that's fake news. It's not true. So it's like.
I think it was starting to shift that way, but
yeah,
I've seen it settle down on my end. I'm sure you use a lot more bacon than I do.
Well, maybe with all three put together. All right, Chef Bobby, nice to see you. So happy for you.
Yes,
so
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So
thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. And like Tracy said, we need to get a update on Hop and Grind when it starts. So,
absolutely.
And I'm sure Daryl and I will be out to see you. And you are listening to Food for Thought, Carolyn Tracy, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Jonathan Blitz. Now we're going to go to talk healthy again.
Right.
Back
we'll
and
be
forth.
Right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
We are back. Food for Thought with Carolyn Tracy. Just sat and spoke with the infamous Chef Bobby Marcotte.
I know, he's famous now. That's
Tuckaway
so exciting.
Tavern and Butchery, yeah. Great, great story. Just, he's a great guy.
So now we have to go look for those episodes because I don't watch it all the time. I know my husband does. He's
I don't watch
famous.
It all the time either, but I knew his was coming, so I definitely did watch it.
I'll
but
have to
check
go
it
do
out.
That.
And check out Guy's Grocery Games too. It's pretty,
yes, I definitely
pretty
will.
Pretty cool. So I'm going to let you welcome
okay,
my next
so,
guest.
Okay, so our next guest is in the studio with Jonathan Blitz with Alpha Omega Fitness Equipment. And we've had him on before, so welcome back. How are you doing?
Doing awesome. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Thanks for having me.
We were just talking about the weather and how beautiful it is out there. And
nice.
I heard like Elm Street is kind of hustle and bustle, people out and, you know, getting moving.
Yes.
Yeah, it seems like a spring day. So it seems like it's more like April or early May than it is in February. So it's kind of
odd. And that's
odd.
Good because I think it gets people thinking about, you know, like you said, moving. Getting out, exercising, is probably somebody out there running and, you know, people out there walking and getting moving. So that's kind of what you do. Your business is exercise equipment, but you have a background in
sports rehab.
Very good. So what kind of things?
Well, what I would say, first of all, for people who don't think they can actually exercise during the winter, actually that's not true because you can. There's tons of stuff to do. I mean, from anything from even if you just get snowshoes or just cross-country
great
skis
workout.
Or just walk around your area, your neighborhood, to doing, you know, small things inside your house. There's tons of things to do if you're just creative and you think about it. One of the things that I was going to mention today was you can actually work out for free if you learn what you want to do and figure out how to do it properly. And that's one of the things that I specialize in is technique and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So if someone wanted to, like, say they wanted to start doing light weights, they can literally get quart containers, plastic quart containers with a cap, half gallon and gallon, fill them up with water. And now we have a set of weights and
kettlebells. That's a great idea.
Like, you mean like milk jugs or?
Exactly.
Oh, so, like, I mean, oh, the smaller ones. Okay, the gallon or.
It doesn't have to be milk. It could be anything. So just a quart container that's got a plastic, it's a plastic top. Mm-hmm. So you can fill it up to a half gallon to a gallon container. And now you can use it as a dumbbell, a kettlebell, a lot of different things.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
So, or if you have a chair. How many people don't have chairs in their house?
Everybody.
So if you have a chair, there's so many things you can do on a chair, from everything from dips to modified push-ups. I mean, yeah, it's kind of crazy. If people don't realize it, if you're open to figure out what you want to do, and like I said in the past, I'd be more than happy if people want to call me up. I'd be more than happy to help guide them, get together with them, give them a free 15-minute consultation, but there's so many things you can do with what you have in your house without purchasing anything, winter, spring, summer, or fall. Obviously, it's a lot easier once you're out during the warm weather, and who doesn't love warm weather?
Yes.
But, I mean, I lived in Southern California for 25 years, but there's tons of stuff to do here in the winter. So
you say that there's things that you can do in the house. Now, what about if somebody, obviously you can use the things around your house, but what if somebody is actually looking for a piece of equipment or something that, you know, they would like to have in their house, so that maybe if it's really awful outside and they can't, but they would like to be able to do some sort of, what kind of equipment would you recommend?
What would be like one piece of equipment that would be good to have at the house?
Yeah.
So like one piece that we just brought in, which is super, super cool. It's a literally portable treadmill. It's not a Sears and Roebuck or a, it's not a cheap treadmill. It's not an inexpensive treadmill. It's a really well-built treadmill. They only run $800 to $850.
So it's inexpensive, but it's not made cheaply.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's really well made, great warranties, and it holds up someone up to 300 pounds, goes 4 miles an hour. We have found through research that you get better or just as good of exercise walking as you do running, because running, depending if you're in your biomechanics, depending on the way people are. Their builds, they might have problems. They might have ankle problems, knee problems, hip problems,
whatever.
I have
knee problems. I've always wanted to run, and it's just not for me.
So something like this, walking, is just as good. So as long as you, again, try to get to that HIIT that we talked about last time, high-intensity interval training, so that you just start slow, warm up, speed up, get your heart rate going, slow down, for a little bit, speed up, because what you want to do is you want to make sure that your recovery rate, your heart rate recovery rate, gets quicker. That shows that you're actually in shape.
I actually just learned about that from the Focus Female when I was there, because I've always done like sprinting, and I know it makes, when I was running, it makes you faster to, instead of running as fast as you can or running, you know, just extra long distances, if you're doing sprints, I knew that it made you faster. So I would sprint and walk, but I don't think I really knew how to do it properly. And what the reason for it was, and what you just said was what Terry Foster had told me, was that the goal is to see how quickly your heart rate can recover. So if you've got your heart rate up to, you know, 170 beats per minute or whatever, and then when you go during your slower your slow down time while you're walking, it's how quickly you can drop it by 20 or 30 beats. Yep. And I never really, even though I knew about, you know, what I thought I knew about HIIT training, I didn't know that part. So I just learned that. So it's funny that you you said that.
Years ago, we used to do what were known in football or lacrosse or wrestling were suicides. At the end of the workout, you would literally all line up. The entire team would line up, and then you would sprint 10 to 15 yards, touch the line, sprint back, touch the line, sprint out 25 yards, and continually, so you're doing it longer and then shorter and then back. And again, they probably didn't even realize it, but what they were trying to do is they were trying to condition your body so that, again, you had that fast recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that's been used for many, many years, but, you know, it's over probably the last 20, 30 years that we've, you know, kind of saw the major benefit of it.
Now, you mentioned the treadmill that you're talking about is portable. So what makes it portable?
It's literally only 82 pounds. It's literally only it's under 15 inches wide. And you can literally put it on its side, and it's now a shelf for whatever you want to do with it.
It has like a box that you push it up, and then it just kind of folds down. The treadmill part folds down.
So yeah, so it's a foldable treadmill, but again, it's not a cheap foldable treadmill. So it literally is. You can put it on its side, and it literally looks like a shelf.
That is cool.
Yeah,
I mean, it can be part of furniture, and yet it's useful.
So if you have a really small space. You live in the city, an apartment or something like that. That would be a great way to have some sort of equipment that you can. Now, obviously, you can always walk around in your house, but if you don't have a lot of space, it's kind of hard to walk around. Because I've done that. Like when I got my Fitbit, you know, when I was in competition, I'm like, oh, I've got to walk some laps around the house. But I have a pretty large house and I can stretch it out. Even then, it would get boring. So, you know, not that walking in place isn't boring too, but at least you can sit there and maybe watch TV or listen to music or something versus trying to walk laps in your tiny little living room.
What I always tell people literally for the last 30 years, when you're actually trying to do exercise, especially when you're getting into it, it's going to be a little bit more difficult mentally to get into it. So watching whatever you do, whatever your routine is, whether you watch a morning TV show or you watch the news at night or you watch sports or soap opera, whatever it happens to be, doing something like this while you're watching TV is perfect because it makes the time go so much faster and you don't even realize the workout or exercise you're getting. So to me, I literally tell them to start off with 5 minutes, 7 minutes max if they're not in shape. Again, you should always consult your doctor, make sure that you're physically able to do this. But yeah, stuff like that. If you're just, you don't want to think about what you're doing, so you actually want to kind of like zone out. But then as you get into it more and more, then you can get more intense.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is perfect for the person who has literally one room, a studio, because it literally becomes a piece of furniture. To someone who has, you know, just like a living room and their kids are taking up the other rooms and they have their own bedroom. Again, you would not know that this is a piece of exercise equipment.
So for all of those people out there that have the treadmill in their room that they drape all of their clothes over, this is actually meant for that.
Dry their clothes.
You can use it for storage because it is a piece of furniture, but you can still fold it down and use it.
We don't want to be a furniture hanger, though. I mean a clothes hanger. We'd much rather it be, but yes.
Put
yes,
to use.
Yes.
We'd that was
you,
a joke.
You actually use it. Hopefully use it once or twice, at least. Couple times a week. But I mean, there's tons of stuff to do no matter what time of year it is. Obviously, it's a lot easier and people get a lot more excited when it starts to get warm after a little bit of a cold. But remember, we haven't had too much cold this year. It hasn't been cold for
we
too
have
long.
Been lucky. So, I know. I'm not complaining.
I don't know if
really the last 2 years we've been pretty lucky. I mean, we have gotten a lot of snow this year, but it seems like it came and then went. And
yeah, it was
came,
all you know, like it, all at once.
It happened in an 8-day period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
36
so,
inches in an 8
but
day
some,
period.
So maybe, I don't know if you guys have heard this expression. Growing up in New England, you grew up here, right, Carol? Yeah, so I thought. I did not. So I just heard this expression recently, and it has to do with how March begins. In like a lion, out like a lamb, or in like a lamb, out like a lion. So now I'm a little afraid because like the first week of March looks like it's supposed to be a lamb. So we might be going out like a lion and have a bad winter. Well, but I've never heard that term before, that expression.
I lived in Southern California, like I said, for quite a while. And to me, the beauty of New England is if you want a change in weather, just wait a couple minutes because you never know what's going to happen in New England.
Well, you're not kidding. It was like horrible snow, you know, feet of snow, and now it's 60 degrees. So that's – and I think it was like that a few days later. It was really, really nice after the last snowstorm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wreaking havoc on the roads.
I mean, I think it was only 2 days that I couldn't, you know, the end of our driveway, we have a circular driveway, and then it goes out, and you couldn't see left. I mean, you had to, like, beep out. And in cars coming by, they toot at you because you're sticking out. It's like, can you tell I can't see? I mean, I'm edging out. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that only lasted like 2 days, and then it was like melted away. It's like, oh, I can see now. Yep. You know? So
yeah, melted.
It's been
fast.
A crazy, yeah. And everything's all muddy where it's all shade, you know, and stuff like that. But.
And I hate to be a downer, but I'm hoping we actually get some more snow, ladies. So.
Bite your tongue, Jonathan.
I want to do some skiing.
So it's funny, you mentioned snow showing earlier, and I keep saying that I'm going to try this, and I haven't yet. But Steve Freeman was saying he likes to go snowshoeing.
I think he went
but
like he said, last weekend.
Yeah, but, well, he said he wasn't going. He couldn't recently because he doesn't want to go slush chewing, he said. So it may be a little hard to do that right now, but if we get some more snow, maybe I can go try snowshoeing.
Well, it's still freezing up at night, so,
so you still could go.
You can go early in the morning or later in the afternoon.
Now, what about cross-country skiing? Have you done that before?
Oh, it's a phenomenal exercise, phenomenal workout.
Yeah.
And you can go as fast or as slow as you want to go, so you can literally cross-country walk, but it's still a great exercise.
Yeah, for somebody who's never, like myself, I've never gone cross-country skiing, it's not like you can go to the ski resorts and rent.
You go to Massabesic, and they have trails all around there.
Really? So you can rent the skis if you don't have them and just go and go on their trails and just do that.
Most major resorts actually have skis.
See, I thought you had to use the lift and just go downhill. So that's interesting.
Actually, normally you're doing it more flats when you're doing cross-country skiing.
All right. We are at the end of the show. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Talking healthy and talking about treadmills and all this stuff.
Ways to exercise without equipment, too.
That's right. Kale and Company is up next, and Tracy and I, Food for Thought with Kale and Tracy, we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.